Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying seven last words of Christ, Jesus Christ's statements from the cross. In this session, we'll be looking at John chapter 19 and verse 28, I thirst. Let's just read that verse to begin with. After John 19:28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. I thirst. Listen, the one who in 6 days of creation ruled over all the elements and ordered all water to its determined place, cried, I thirst. The one who was the rock that followed the children of Israel through the wilderness and provided water to the body, cried, I thirst. The one who gave the Samaritan woman at the well and to all who need spiritual relief, the living water, cried, I thirst. The one who was the very source of the rivers of living water that wells up to eternal life, as he approached death, cried, I thirst. It's at this moment that we see the agony of the suffering servant come into sharp focus. Jesus Christ, fully God and perfect man. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Christ's suffering began the moment he emptied himself of all heavenly glory at birth. Christ's suffering focused more clearly as he struggled with the cup in the garden. And like a camera lens adjusting, Christ's suffering reached its sharpest adjustment in his body as he cries out on Calvary's cross. Thirst is one of the worst agonies associated with crucifixion. And yet, even at this weak moment physically, he was still fully in control of his will. It says, knowing that everything was accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said. John saw the thirst of Jesus in two Old Testament passages. Psalm 22, verse 15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. And he saw Psalm 69, verse 21, they also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Every detail of prophecy fulfilled at its exact moment. While he was destroying principles, principalities, and powers, Jesus fulfilled Scripture completely. While he suffered to accomplish God's will, Jesus endured until God's word was fulfilled. Accomplished is the final act of doing something. Fulfilled refers to the process of doing it. Many Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled in the trial and the crucifixion. Only one was now to be fulfilled before his death. The Lord's cry of thirst was the final act of fulfilling Scripture regarding his suffering on the cross. And why? Why did the perfect God-man do it? Why did Jesus suffer? Why did Jesus suffer on the cross? Well, first, he suffered to demonstrate his true humanity as a perfect sacrifice for sin to satisfy Almighty God's demand for justice. Holiness had been violated and payment of blood was to be made. Sinful man was helpless to offer a sinless sacrifice, a lamb without spot or blemish. Jesus was perfect in birth and in life. No sin in him whatsoever. He journeyed to Calvary to pay our sin debt. Why did Jesus suffer on the cross? He suffered to become a perfect substitute, to accomplish our salvation, willing to die so that we might live. It was a man who sinned in the garden. A man must die to pay for sin, but it must be a man who knew no sin. Jesus carried it out to perfection. What began with the first Adam, seeking the refreshment of forbidden fruit, ended with the second Adam, seeking the refreshment of necessary water. He journeyed to Calvary to take our place. Why did Jesus suffer on the cross? He suffered to reveal the weakness and inability of man to do what is right in the sight of God. The best we can do, apart from the grace of God, unaided by the Spirit, is minister sour wine to a dying man's thirst. Without grace, we're helpless. He journeyed to Calvary to reveal our wickedness. Why did Jesus suffer on the cross? He suffered to demonstrate the extent of his love. His heart's desire is fellowship with his crowning creation, the one stamped with the very image of God, mankind. Jesus longs for fellowship with you. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and him with, and he with me. Jesus' offer in that letter has two perspectives. The offer is to the unbeliever needing salvation. Let's look at the Roman road. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6:23. God demonstrates his love, own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This offer, the offer is to the believer, neglecting personal devotion. So it's for the unbeliever for salvation, forgiveness of sins, and the offer is to the believer who's neglecting his own personal devotion. Jesus' words were in a letter to the church at Laodicea, where the believers had grown cold in their walk with the Lord. They thought they served God, but they were going through the motions of church activities and worship, believing that their worldly success and stuff was all they needed. They needed a wake-up call. Maybe you do as well. Maybe you think your relationship with Jesus is on fire, but instead is stone cold. Jesus is the only solution. Rekindled fellowship with him. Look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, down to verse 20. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I could wish you were hot or cold. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Jesus cried, I thirst, that day on the cross. The thirst of the cross is excruciating, agony, hindering speech. Jesus refused the drugged wine at the beginning, as he would endure suffering with full awareness. Then he calls for a drink of the undrugged wine. Why? For what purpose? He's about to give a cry of victory, and it must be as clear as a trumpet. But that part is not the assignment for this session. It's the next session. You have a great day.